Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The resources that we talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast can be found on the web at equip.org. And I'd like to remind everyone that I finished a series of Bible Answer Man YouTube videos. And these videos chronicle Holy Week, from the resurrection of Lazarus all the way through the Last Supper, Christ's crucifixion, his descent into Hades, and his resurrection, which is precisely what I want to talk about on this broadcast. Because on Pascha, on Easter, we find the culmination of the holiest week of the year, the week that marks the capstone in the arch of Christianity. Nothing more important. And you and I, along with the body of Christ worldwide, celebrate this day as the ultimate game changer. If I face hardships in this life for merely human reasons, said Paul in his first letter to the Corinthian Christians, what in the world am I gaining? If the dead are not raised, why not just eat and drink? For tomorrow we die. In other words, says Paul, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are as yet in your sin. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, well, you might as well be pitied more than anyone who has ever walked upon the face of the earth. The bottom line is this: without resurrection, Christianity crumbles. And thus, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul provides a four-part argument which underscores the irrevocable reality of our Lord's resurrection. And this is so important today. If I have some time to get to this in the second part of the program, I will. It's important for many reasons, including something that happened just a few years ago. This was on the day before Good Friday. It was on Comedy Central, and it featured best-selling author Bart Ehrman making light of Christ's agony on the cross. And of course, if Christ did not suffer fatal torment, there's no need whatsoever to talk about resurrection. And that's why Paul begins by passing on a creedal affirmation that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And again, this is not only a well-established fact of antiquity, but in our modern age of scientific enlightenment, there is virtual consensus among New Testament scholars, both conservative and liberal, that Christ died on the cross, that he was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and that his death drove his disciples to despair. So the first part of the argument is that Christ did indeed suffer fatal torment. Secondly, Paul argues that Jesus was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. In point of fact, the earliest Jewish response to the resurrection of our Lord presupposes the empty tomb. And in the centuries following the resurrection of our Lord, the fact of the empty tomb was forwarded by the friends and foes of our Lord alike. Of one thing we can be absolutely positive: early Christianity could not have survived an identifiable tomb that contained the relics of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul's third argument is that the apostles did not merely propagate Christ's teachings, they were absolutely positive that he had appeared to them in the flesh after his death and after his resurrection. And as such, he points out that Christ appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. It would have been one thing to attribute these supernatural experiences to people who had already died, quite another to attribute them to multitudes alive and subject to cross-examination. The fourth, and perhaps the most important reason given by the Apostle Paul, is transformation. And Paul begins by drawing attention to how he himself was transformed. He abdicated his position as an esteemed Jewish leader, as a rabbi, as a Pharisee, one who had in fact studied under Gamaliel, the leading authority of the Sanhedrin. He gave up his avowed mission to stamp out every vestige of what he considered at that time to be the insidious heresy of Christianity. And in the end, he paid the ultimate price for his faith. He was martyred. Moreover, in the span of just a few hundred years, a band of seemingly insignificant believers succeeded in turning an empire right side up. Well, while it's conceivable that the disciples would have faced torture and vilification and even cruel death for what they fervently believed to be true, it is inconceivable that they would have been willing to die for what they knew to be a lie. And I think it's also worth noting here that the Jewish rites of Passover and baptism were radically transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In place of the Passover meal, believers celebrated the Lord's Supper. Think about it. Jesus had just been slaughtered in grotesque and in humiliating fashion, and yet the disciples partook of the pure body of the precious blood of Christ with great joy. Only the resurrection can account for that. Baptism, too, was radically transformed. Prior to the resurrection, Gentile converts to Judaism were baptized in the name of the God of Israel. After the resurrection, converts to Christianity were baptized in the name of Jesus, and in doing so, they equated Jesus with the God of Israel. Of one thing, I have become absolutely certain. If 21st century Christians would grasp the reality of resurrection like first century Christians did. Their lives would be totally transformed. Christ's resurrection was a historical event that took place in our time-space continuum. And likewise, your resurrection will be a historical event that takes place when Christ physically returns and transforms our mortal bodies. When we come back from the break, I'm going to deal with some of the ridicule which has been heaped upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember, you and I are called to be always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, the hope of resurrection, and to do so with gentleness and with respect. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Christian unity is not optional. Francis Chan wrote Until Unity to remind Christians that God grieves division in the church, so we cannot remain indifferent. The power and witness of the church hinges on our oneness, and unity in Christ demands a level of humility that is possible by only those filled with the Holy Spirit. Unity around the essentials may seem impossible, but Christ prayed for unity and we must obey. Who are we to question the Creator of the universe? To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Our Lord prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Christian unity is not optional. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, something that we celebrated in the Eastern Church just 2 days ago. This is something that you and I, as I mentioned in the first segment of the broadcast, must be prepared to defend, because it is the very essence of the Christian faith. Christ suffered fatal torment. The tomb was indeed empty. Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the relics of Messiah. Christ appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he had indeed risen from the grave. And finally, as a result of the post-resurrection appearances of Christ, the disciples were utterly transformed. Neither Ponce de Leon nor Alexander the Great ever discovered the fountain of youth. It does exist, however. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Truly, for all who are in Christ, the fountain of youth awaits." Now, that's something that I hold dear as a follower of Jesus Christ. It is my hope of eternity. It is what preserved me in the midst of a 3-year battle with stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma. It is the assurance that gave me hope and joy in the midst of life's storms. And yet, this is ridiculed in today's popular culture. Just this morning, I opened Time magazine. It's the April 20, 2020 edition. And there I saw a full-page ad. An ad on a video series, a DVD, How Jesus Became God. You can save $220, the ad says, if you get this video right now. It's a 75% savings. The ad goes on to say that the early Christian claim that Jesus of Nazareth was God completely changed the course of Western civilization. And for that reason, the question of how Jesus became God is one of the most significant historical questions, and in fact, a question that some believers have never thought to ask. What exactly happened? What happened such that Jesus came to be considered God? Well, in 24 provocative lectures, the ad goes on. Professor Bart D. Ehrman of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, takes you deeply into the process by which the divinity of Jesus was first conceived of by his followers. And in the middle of that series, he takes dead aim at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a resurrection which he believes to be an absolute hoax. In fact, according to Bart Ehrman, the Bible is a dishonest book littered with deceptions and errors, and he says outright lies. He's very proud of the fact that some of his students resist for a long time, secure in their knowledge that God would not allow any falsehoods like the resurrection into a sacred book. But before long, as students see more and more of the evidence, many of them find that their faith in the inerrancy and absolute historical trustworthiness of the Bible begins to waver. Well, our faith ought never to waver. Never. Not in the midst of ridicule. Not in the midst of faulty reasoning. As I was saying in the first part of the broadcast, a few years ago, on the day before Good Friday, Comedy Central featured Bart Ehrman making light of Christ's agony on the cross. To the delight of his audience, and it was delight, he and host Stephen Colbert ridiculed Mark and Luke for contradicting one another, respecting the death of Christ. In Mark's gospel, Jesus goes to his death in deep agony over what's happening to him and doesn't seem to understand what's happening to him, says Ehrman. Conversely, when you read Luke's gospel, he's not in agony at all. Well, number one, to suggest that in Mark's account, Jesus doesn't seem to understand what is happening to him is hardly humorous or accurate. As Mark made clear, Jesus knew precisely what would happen to him and precisely why it was happening to him. Jesus explained during the Last Supper, "This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many." Or as he put it, just prior to entering Jerusalem, the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus had, in fact, repeatedly predicted his suffering, his death, his resurrection. And to say otherwise is an insult to Christ. In fact, an insult to common sense. Secondly, only a biblically illiterate studio audience would snicker at the assertion that in Luke's gospel, Christ is not in agony at all. As documented by Dr. Luke, Christ's torment actually began long before the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. Being in agony there, Jesus prayed earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. To suggest that, according to Luke, Jesus is not in agony at all takes more than a little gall. The third point I'd make in this regard is a point which drives a nail into the heart of Bart Ehrman's methodology. Because unless biographers such as Mark and Luke say precisely the same thing in precisely the same way, Ehrman stands ready to crucify them on the pretense of contradiction. Here's how he regurgitates his shop-worn charge on Comedy Central. What people have done is they've taken Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel and combined them together into one big gospel, which is not like either Mark or Luke, says Ehrman. Well, in sober reality, the very nature of biography is to choose those elements of a congruent story that the biographer wishes to emphasize. And one of the most amazing realities with respect to the composite biography of Jesus Christ presented by the gospel writers is that they were empowered to present a living portrait of the most interesting, complex, and significant human being, the Anthropos, the God-man, who has ever walked among us. And these writers did so without contradiction and without collusion. The kinds of invective cast towards Christ are simply mind-numbing in an age of scientific enlightenment. Ehrman has said so many things, and his rhetoric is becoming popular in the culture. According to Bart Ehrman, Jesus was a false, apocalyptic prophet. Jesus could not have been God. Why? Well, according to Ehrman, because he did not know that a black orchid seed was smaller than a mustard seed. Bart Ehrman needs to be countered because he's making such an impact in the culture. I've done that in various places, including my book, Has God Spoken? I have a whole section on answering what are supposed contradictions in the Bible and in the accounts that buttress the resurrection of Christ in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. All these resources are made available. Many more, as a fact. You can find them on the web at equip.org. And as I end today's broadcast, I want to thank all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. It's a battle, but we're making a difference while there is yet time.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Our Lord prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Christian unity is not optional. To receive your copy of Until Unity by Francis Chan, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.